This is the State Capitol Report, and we have such a busy State Capitol Report this hour, and so much is going on. We have both of our State Capitol watchers with us, Sean Johnson and Laurel White. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and we also have our fall membership drive going on. So let me welcome Mike Arnold into our crowded studio to get started on that. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
This is the fall membership drive, and we are here to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like the State Capitol Report. Give your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, and last hour we heard from six donors. Thanks so much to everyone who gave, but this hour we have a goal of 40 pledges.
40.
I think we have good incentive for that. Yes. We have the whole State Capitol Bureau right here in the studio this whole hour. So support that with your pledge. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep discussing things like the State Capitol and other things on Wisconsin Public Radio.
2017 marks 100 years of broadcasting for Wisconsin Public Radio, and this fall membership drive is a great time to celebrate with us. Support the programs that make your day. You can make a centennial gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a large slice of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, the biggest slice, is listener support. That's right, people like you who give money to the station. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal governments and business, are important, of course, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Boy, and speaking of budgets, we have been talking about the state budget on the State Capitol Report for a long time now, and we will talk this hour about the newly signed state budget in this edition of our State Capitol Report. You are a part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you have been listening for years or just a few months, you can become a part of our community of members, people who support the programs that they value.
And if you've never given before, start with a pledge of $10 or $20 a month. Your pledge at any amount makes you a member and really does make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
2017 is our centennial, and we have a special prize drawing for you this drive. Make a gift of any amount, and you'll be entered to win our Centennial Celebration Package. The winner will receive two VIP passes to our marquee event with NPR's Ari Shapiro on October 14th in Madison. You'll also get hotel accommodations and meals. You don't have to donate to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to Centennial Celebration Drawing, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing or enter by making a donation of any amount right now.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Mike Arnold here to raise the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and this program on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month or something else, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
These days, it's really easy to get used to being tracked. You know, you go to a newspaper website a few times and they go, "You've seen five articles, that's it, we're cutting you off." Well, Wisconsin Public Radio doesn't work that way.
We should think about that.
We work on the honor system. No, we work on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it. But when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs you enjoy possible. I think that's a better way of doing it. We make it available to everyone, but there are people who support it as well. So how about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount, then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These days, it's easy to spend a dollar a day on all sorts of bizarre stuff like a cup of coffee or a snack from a vending machine.
You know what? There's nothing bizarre about a cup of coffee, Mike. I'm just kidding.
Especially right now. Yeah.
I know. I'd have about six of them by now. Consider the news, the information, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day. That comes out to $30 or $31 a month is the right donation for you. Give a dollar a day right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to support the programs you enjoy every day.
40 pledges this hour. I think we can do it, especially since we have the horsepower of the Capitol Bureau right here in the studio right now. Support the Capitol reporting that we have at Wisconsin Public Radio. Support the civil conversations that you hear every day on the radio station. I feel pretty confident that we'll hear from 40 people this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do too, because there is no better state Capitol reporting team anywhere in the state, let alone the nation. I'm going to say it. We we have the best that there is, and they are here to provide you with the information that happens every day at the state capitol and in state government offices, all over the state for that matter, and they report on the public policy issues that affect your life, the elections that affect your life, the issues that, as we say, matter to you. So make your pledge now. Join a listener from Madison who pledged and says, WPR gives us hope that there are balanced views still existing on air. We love the smooth, buttery voices of public radio. I'm not sure who that listener is listening to. Mike, especially, I suppose. A listener from Beloit says, renewing as my birthday gift to myself. Keep it coming. And Dana from Madison says, thank you for the in-depth coverage. Listening to Soundbite News is like eating fast food. It may help with hunger, but it does not nourish. Ooh, we have very deep thinkers. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Please do make your pledge. Help us reach our goal of 40 pledges during the State Capitol Report. My last State Capitol Report. I'm going to promise not to get too teary. Let me welcome our two guests. We have with us Laurel White, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning, Joy.
And we have Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
You, when we first started, were the State Capitol reporter, the only State Capitol reporter we had for Wisconsin Public Radio, but so much going on that you were promoted and Laurel was hired, right?
That's right. Now we can cover twice the news, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So remind me, Sean, and I did have to ask you to remind me. I remember when you first came on board at Wisconsin Public Radio, it was in the early 2000s, and I thought right away we should do this State Capitol Report. I remember you said, well, let me get used to the players first.
Yeah. You asked me after I came on sometime around 2004, 2005 maybe, and I was very, very hesitant at first. And yeah, like a year later, we started. I think it was around late 2006, early 2007.
So here we go, 10 years later. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. I know, yeah. We were covering the start of the Government Accountability Board back then. It was kind of like my moment in time that I remember,
which is
now gone.
so things come and
gone through the cycle, yeah.
Well, thank you for agreeing to do this. And Laurel, thank you for also agreeing to do it. And thank you both for coming here today, because there is so much to cover and we wanted to talk to both of you. And boy, I don't know where we start, I guess. Well, I do want to start with, I think, the state budget, since I just mentioned it. We have a new state budget now. Anything unusual about that, Laurel? I know we talked last week when it was signed, the governor issued 99 vetoes. Was mm-hmm. there anything that you, after reading the entire thing, that you discovered?
I was up all weekend reading through just to make sure I caught every little detail. You know, what was interesting to me, I think this happened after we spoke last week about the 99 vetoes, was that the governor signed the budget almost at the exact same time that State School Superintendent Tony Evers was giving his State of Education address in the Capitol. And Evers was talking about how he wanted more money for schools at the same time that the governor was touting this $636 million funding increase for K-12 schools. So it kind of felt like a turning point where we moved from talking about the budget and negotiations on the budget to it being a more political document, because Evers is running as a Democrat for governor. And of course, it's assumed that Governor Walker is going to run for his third term. He hasn't announced yet.
Yeah,
but so we're expecting that.
And when do we expect that, Sean? Do you know? Is the governor going to be announcing anytime soon his intentions to run for another term?
He had always said that he'd announce it sometime after the budget was signed. I think he threw out a different date though. Recently, though, like maybe more toward November now. Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, I think November is the month that's hanging up there now.
So he's going to just kind of do a little more planning for a month, huh?
I don't think it's like a cliffhanger. Will he or won't he?
He's raised
a lot of money, so it's a formality whenever he does get in.
And speaking of running for governor, as you mentioned, Tony Evers is running for governor. I just saw that Kathleen Vinehout, State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, will announce today.
Yes, and that's interesting because we already have a candidate from Western Wisconsin, Dana Walks, representative who is in Kathleen Vinehout's state Senate district.
That is interesting.
So there's been a lot of talk among Democrats from Western Wisconsin that the party needs to pay more attention to this part of the state. They will have to in this Democratic primary because there's going to be two candidates from there, and that's going to make it difficult on the both of them because they're going to split some of that vote potentially. It also is going to make things potentially interesting in the state Senate races next year. Kathleen Vinehout represents the state Senate district that will be up for election in 2018, and that's a very competitive Senate district. So a Democratic incumbent leaving there would be good news, you know, gives Republicans a shot at a pickup there, potentially. We don't know, you know, who the candidates would be at that point. But it also introduces Kathleen Vinehout, a favorite of the Democratic Party base, to this race. I mean, she's done very well in straw polls, as unscientific as they may be, but she is beloved by that kind of the base of the base that goes to these state Democratic Party conventions. You know, she's really found a home there.
Do you expect any more Democratic candidates to step forward, Sean, or do you think we've got our field?
I don't know. There are still names out there that were saying earlier this year, hey, I think that I want to get in this race. I mean, Medicine Mayor Paul Soglin is kind of the big name that comes to mind as, you know, a major political figure in Wisconsin who had said, I'm all but in. And he said that, you know, there'd be an announcement coming after Labor Day. It's after Labor Day, and we haven't heard that announcement yet. So I think that's one of the ones that we're kind of waiting on.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do more on probably the race for governor a little bit later this week, looking for an opportunity to do that. But when we come to some politics and elections, I know that the week started off last week with the Democrats electing a new minority leader in the state assembly. So Peter Barca, who was the Democratic minority leader since 2011, stepped down under pressure. Is that fair to say, Laurel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we had an interview on air with a representative from Milwaukee, Christine Sinicky, and she characterized it as a coup by some of the younger members of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin who weren't happy with Barca's leadership for, sounds like, a variety of reasons, but I think the big point there was the Foxconn debate and his vote on the Foxconn incentive package. He joined Republicans in supporting that package. Barca's from Kenosha, so the facility will be located near his district. And he said, you know, all politics is local. The people that I represent are excited. They support this Foxconn incentive package, so I'm going to cast my ballot for them. And the Democratic Party, particularly those young members, according to Representative Sinicky, weren't pleased with that.
Yeah. So what can either of you tell me about the Democrat who was elected, Gordon Hintz?
Gordon Hintz has been there since, has been in the Assembly since 2006 here. He's been on the Budget Committee for a couple sessions. He was a budget analyst in California before he came to Wisconsin and was elected to the legislature. So definitely number savvy. He's definitely somebody who gets fired up in the heat of arguments from time to time. You'll see it on the Budget Committee. You'll see it on the Assembly floor. So he was able to bridge that gap, I guess, between some of these newer members of the caucus and some members that have been there a little bit longer. He's somebody that they could support. He's got a thankless job ahead of him. I mean, 35 seats to 64 seats for Republicans in the Assembly, and as of right now, a map that is going to make it very difficult for Democrats to win. So starting kind of from that, we don't know if it's the bottom point, but it's a low number of seats, definitely, and a lot of obstacles for them. So he has a chance to to turn things around.
Is this an indication that the Wisconsin Democrats are taking a turn to the left? That is what we talked with an analyst last week who was saying it would be interesting to see who's chosen and whether the Democrats are going to be in the center or take a swing to the left. Is this a swing to the left?
I really think it's too early to say what his leadership style is going to be and what kind of a outreach campaign they're going to launch in these districts where they've lost ground. You know, moving to the left isn't necessarily going to pick you up some of those districts in rural Wisconsin that you've lost. I think it's just too early to say. I don't think you would look at Gordon Hinson and say, yep, there's a sharp turn to the left from Peter Barca. It's all in how they decide to lead the caucus.
Well, when we come back, talk a little bit more about Foxconn, the vote that may have played a big part in Peter Barca stepping down as minority leader of the state assembly, and other issues in state capital news when we come back. If you'd like to join in with questions or reactions on Foxconn, on the race for governor, on the state budget, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report. We're talking with Laurel White, WPR State Capitol Reporter, and Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll get back to our discussion of state politics and policy in just a moment. But first, as they say, this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Arnold, and our goal is to keep bringing you the State Capitol Report week after week. It's not the only time we talk about state issues, but you know that this is the place to be if you want to know the very latest in state capital issues, politics, and policy. Your support makes that happen. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2550.
And we are looking for 38 more pledges in the next 40 minutes or so. We can do it, but your gift right now is really important to support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you if you've already given, but if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You share every weekday morning with this program. Your morning wouldn't be the same without the wide variety of guests talking about issues that matter. Joy Cardine set the standard for the Ideas Network morning show, and we plan to keep that tradition going after Joy retires at the end of this week.
That's right. And thank you for keeping that standard going, Mike. I appreciate that.
And yes, we will, definitely. The Ideas Network will be here when your alarm clock wakes you up and while you share your breakfast in the kitchen with us and our drive to work with us. We hope you'll pledge your support for the future of these morning conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning that you get from WPR by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or more. That's a $1,200 pledge every year to Wisconsin Public Radio to provide an important piece of funding for the programs that we all rely on.
Let's work together to build on this powerful resource that benefits so many people throughout the state. Make this leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Arnold, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you programs that you value, like the State Capitol Report. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it's a good investment, too. It's much better than buying dryer sheets on Amazon. That has to be expensive.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 20,000 sustainers, and that number is growing day by day.
Give it a try. We think you'll like it. You can set up a monthly amount to come out of your bank account or credit card. It's very easy to get started with a gift of, say, $10 a month or whatever works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And what are you doing? You're supporting the civil conversations you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Ashley from Madison, who pledged and says big thanks to Joy for helping me wake up in the morning. Glad to do it. She says, you have made yourself a state treasure. Congrats on your retirement, and may you enjoy this next part of your life. That's very kind, Ashley. Thank you very much. Shirley from Oshkosh says, I am increasing my monthly donation because I truly appreciate WPR. You inform me with wide news coverage. Congratulations on 100 years. And thank you to Mary from Janesville, who says, I'm making this donation to show my gratitude for Joy's many years of wonderful service to listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio. She wishes me and Rob all the best in our retirement. That's great. I do talk a lot about Rob, that that listeners know what my husband's name is, but that's the way it is. Thank you very much. Very, very much, Mary. Appreciate it. You can join in with your pledge of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Okay, let's get back to State Capitol News with our guests during this, the last edition of the State Capitol Report that I will be hosting, but Kate Archer-Kent will continue this tradition, I am told. Sean Johnson is with us, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. If you have a question for them, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Talking about everything that happened last week, and a lot happened last week, including the state budget being signed and the Foxconn incentives package being signed, and a whole lot more. So if you have a question about state capital news, give us a call. Dennis in Shatek has a question. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I'd like to know when this new state budget actually takes effect and the new rules, especially the fee increases on the vehicle that I'm driving right now.
What do you think about that fee increase, Dennis?
I agree that there should be a small fee increase, but they basically doubled the registration fee on a vehicle that only gets marginally better fuel mileage than modern standard vehicles nowadays.
All right, well, first, maybe Laurel, you can explain to us what this this extra fee on hybrid vehicles is about.
So it was a way to get some new revenue for the transportation budget in Wisconsin. That was a big point of debate during budget negotiations. Some folks wanted a gas tax increase or an overall vehicle registration fee increase for all the vehicles on the road, but they weren't able to get those items through and into the budget. So this electric and hybrid vehicle fee was what they were able to accomplish in the budget. So it's providing some new revenue for the state, but not quite as much as they wanted.
And I'm sorry, I missed it. It was $100
for electric
and $75 for hybrids.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, so do we know, Sean, when this kicks in?
This particular fee kicks in on January 1st of next year. So the rest of the budget, unless specified elsewhere, you can assume that it takes effect immediately or upon publication in most cases. But for this, January 1st of 2018, you'll see that new $75 fee for hybrids, $100 for electric. And when you compare what people will be paying for the hybrids to what people will be paying for a similar vehicle that's not a hybrid, a hybrid driver will be paying between gas taxes and this new extra registration fee, they'll be paying about $43 more per year, using assumptions drawn up by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau.
Well, let's talk a little bit about just generally the Foxconn incentives package. That was signed into law last week as well, or am I blending my weeks together?
I think that was Monday.
No, it's so fast.
Time is a blur.
Yeah, so that means that the state's going to give Foxconn $3 billion over 10 years to build this facility in southeastern Wisconsin. We don't know exactly where it's going to be yet, but somewhere probably in Racine County.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're waiting to hear.
And then, you know, the size of the incentive package depends on how many jobs are created. And we haven't seen the contract yet. And it hasn't been signed yet, to my knowledge, between the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and Foxconn. And that's where a lot of, a lot of the requirements are going to be left up to that WEDIC contract with Foxconn. So the bill is passed. We've seen that. We've seen the law. But we don't know some of those fine details that will be worked out privately, are being worked out privately.
I think they're aiming to sign the contract on Thursday, or approve the contract by the WEDIC board on Thursday. If Thursday's the 28th, they're going to do that on the 28th.
It is the 28th because my last day is the 29th, which is Friday. So I remember, I count everything along that line now. But there is a part of the Foxconn bill that could be unconstitutional. What part is that, Laurel?
So that's the part to do with a new judicial process for lawsuits involving Foxconn, legal challenges to Foxconn's operations. And it essentially creates an expedited process for Foxconn cases and puts a couple new procedures in place, like an automatic stay of a circuit court ruling if that ruling is appealed. So that blocks the judge's order while the appeal is pending, which is an interesting situation that doesn't exist for other cases.
Yeah, so is somebody filing suit over this?
Nobody's filed suit yet. Where this news came from was a memo from the legislature's nonpartisan legal office, so the Legislative Council, and they were asked by Democratic Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of the Senate to examine the constitutionality of this particular element of the Foxconn package. And they said that it could be vulnerable to a challenge for a couple different reasons, but their memo outlined really both sides of the argument, and they said it could be constitutional, it could be unconstitutional. We'll just kind of have to see if it plays out in court.
Yeah. So, Sean, do you think that the Foxconn incentives package is going to be big fodder for next year's legislative and/or race for governor?
I know people hate these kinds of answers, but it does give fodder to both sides. I mean, the governor says, I went out and got this big plant that other states were going after. We're going to bring, you know, TV screen manufacturing to the United States. It's going to be this massive plant in Wisconsin. Yeah. I did it, you know, yay me. Democrats are going to say, yes, but you spent $3 billion in state money, and you're going to, you know, potentially be handing Foxconn a check over these years for a total of, you know, nearly $3 billion. That's money that would otherwise be going to our schools, for example, over that period of time. And it's going to this company with not too many strings attached instead.
Speaking of education, there was action last The budget passed does call for some sort of regulation of for-profit colleges. Is that something new, Laurel?
So actually what the budget does is it changes the, I think it's called the Educational Approval Board, the EAB, and that's the state entity that regulates for-profit colleges in Wisconsin. And what's going to happen is the EAB is being absorbed into another state agency, I think Professional Services. And in the governor's veto message, he basically changed it so the EAB would be dissolved immediately instead of being shifted over into this other agency and retaining its staff. Those staff were no longer guaranteed their jobs. They would have to reapply. So this has gotten some pushback because people familiar with this industry and this regulation say, we need these folks that have been working for the EAB as that agency transitions because they have the knowledge, they have the experience, and we don't want to lose that in the regulation of for-profit colleges in Wisconsin.
Yeah. We're so short on time. I'm going to have to rush along here on some of the items we wanted to talk about. I do want to know who can tell me about this bike path thing. We had a call last week. Somebody was really upset that the governor vetoed something that would have made it easier for local communities to establish bike paths.
Yeah, so what that does is it takes away municipalities' right to exercise eminent domain to build bike paths, bike lanes, and sidewalks. So that was something that the governor introduced in one of his 99 vetoes, and a lot of advocacy groups were very upset by it, saying, you know, this is something that municipalities have been able to do for a really long time. It's been integral to building more bike paths across the state of Wisconsin. They argue that that really creates more safe environments for people who are interested in, you know, biking to work or biking recreationally. And taking away this right from local governments will make a big difference in the proliferation of bike lanes in Wisconsin.
All right, we're going to take a break for pledge and a break for weather, and then we will take more of your calls on state budget issues or the Foxconn incentives package or other issues before the state legislature or other issues that are being debated under the state Capitol Dome. When we come back, I'm also going to ask Sean and Laurel about this this bill that would allow Wisconsinites to carry concealed weapons without a permit that got a Senate committee approval last week. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to join us on air with a question or a view. You can also email us, ideas@wpr.org. Joining me now is Mike Arnold once again as we are in our fall membership drive, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes WPR your go-to place for great discussions. And Mike is here to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 32 pledges in the next 20 minutes or so to stay on track. We can do that. I mean, 32 pledges at this time of day is pretty doable. So your support helps keep with WPR's Ideas Network strong. So make a gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality, and since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program possible. Your contribution makes Wisconsin Public Radio's Capital Bureau possible, and contributions of you and so many others go together to make this a quality radio service that brings you something special, a place where there's civil discussions about the issues, a place where there's in-depth reporting. When you donate, you're supporting that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a friend recommended the high-quality news, the interesting discussions, or weekend programs. Maybe you were just scanning the dial. However you first found WPR, now you're hooked. Admit it.
And whether it's been just a few months since you found us or a few years or decades, your contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month really supports the quality programming that you've valued since the first time you listened. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sam from Madison, and my husband and I are sustainers of WPR. Wisconsin Public Radio is really my main source for global news and community news. My husband and I like being sustainers because I don't have to think about the contribution that I write out. It's automatic. And when I hear appeals on the radio, I already feel good, like, yes, I made my donation and I'm making it monthly, so I don't have to think about it. I think it's critical that my husband and I support Wisconsin Public Radio and the programming that they broadcast. We really are lucky to live in this community, and I only want to make it stronger. So I hope you'll join me in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio as a sustaining member.
WPR WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Arnold, asking for your support. Your gift, whatever amount you choose, is needed and greatly appreciated.
Now, you might be wondering, how much should I give?
A lot.
No. It's up to you. Totally up to you. There's no price tag on WPR. You can pay any amount and it'll work. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. Truly, any amount is appreciated and needed. Make your pledge now in the amount that works for you. That's right for your budget at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do, you are playing an essential role in funding the programs that you count on every day.
Let's think about it this way. If you hear three interesting things a day and you said that's worth a dime, that works out to $10 a month. That's a pretty good contribution. You'll also get that hipster beanie that we're trying to move here during the drive. It's actually a really cool stocking cap.
That's it.
That will be perfect when it's warm. Now, it may feel weird getting a stocking cap. By the time you get it, I can guarantee the temperature will be colder. So make your pledge right now to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you hear three interesting things a day and they're worth 10 cents a day, $10 a month. It's that easy. Make the pledge.
Well, I have heard three interesting things this hour, so make your pledge. If that sounds like the right calculation for you, make your pledge of $10 a month right now and ask for, we're calling it the WPR Beanie, but they'll get it if you say, I want the black stocking cap that says Wisconsin Public Radio on it, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you to Melanie from Milwaukee who pledged. She says, I love saying I heard on WPR today, ... Thank you for keeping me company on my travel days within the state. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your pledge. And thank you to Shirley from Oshkosh, who is increasing her monthly donation because she appreciates WPR. You inform me with wide news coverage. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Really hoping to stay on track and reach a goal of 40 pledges during this hour. Do help us reach this goal because you appreciate having this this hour every single week where you can catch up on what's going on at the state capitol, what your elected representatives are debating and doing. That certainly affects your daily life. Do make your pledge in support of State Capitol News at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking today with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. George in Milwaukee has a question. Hi, George.
Yeah, hi. More of a comment, I guess, but I was very disappointed to see the governor change the amount that people involved in doing historic preservations on older buildings could get in terms of a tax credit. Basically cutting it by 90% from $5 million down to $50,000 from $5 million to $500,000. The problem especially is in a place like Milwaukee where you have some very large projects, and those places would not have that historic preservation would not have happened unless there was that amount that the state was putting into it.
Yeah. Do we know the motivation of the governor when he lowered that historic preservation subsidy, Sean?
He talked about just the cost in his veto message and the growing cost of the overall program, and that by reducing it from, as George mentioned, $5 million per parcel to $500,000 per parcel, the governor said that was going to save the state's general fund about $1 million in the first year of the budget, then about $12 million, and then $33 million a year after that, $46 million the year after that. So it came down to cost. This is a program that has enjoyed bipartisan support because, you know, every lawmaker probably has a project in their district that could potentially benefit from this, and so they've favored it over the years. The governor is looking at the cost here, and that was the justification behind his veto.
Yeah, Sean, I wanted to talk with you and Laurel too about the issue of votes for vetoes when the governor agreed to the demands, the requests of three holdout Republican state senators who wanted certain items in the budget or changes in the budget, and the governor agreed to do so via his veto pen. Can you give us that in a nutshell?
Well, I mean, the process at the end there was pretty interesting because you had three conservative Republican holdout senators, Dewey Strobel, Steve Nass, and Chris Kapinga, who said they weren't going to vote for that budget and wasn't going to pass the Senate unless there were changes. And then you had the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, saying, if you change this, we're not going to come back and vote on it, so don't do it. And you had kind of a standoff, and the governor got involved, and he sided with these three senators, and they got a lot, you know, that by holding up the process and saying this isn't a budget that we can vote for. You know, they got some significant changes from the governor, for example, eliminating this $2.5 million study for tolling. This is something where in a year when a lot of Republicans were kind of gnashing their teeth over transportation funding, this was the one sort of nugget they got in there to maybe move them toward a long-term solution on road funding, or, you know, increased road funding down the road. Bad choice of words there. But they got that in there, and the governor decided to take it out. The prevailing wage repeal for state projects, they moved up the effective date from September of next year to immediately, and those are just a couple. So there's some tension there between Assembly Speaker Voss and the governor, which is not new, but kind of reignited that with those vetoes. And then with those, you know, otherwise rank and file members of the Senate who got a lot through this process, you know, there's some tension between Republicans, obviously.
The governor also did a veto that some Republicans in the state legislature did not ask for and were not happy about. Tell us about this revenue limits veto, Laurel. What was that about?
So this was a big priority for Assembly Republicans in particular. It was part of their K-12 education plan that they rolled out early on in budget negotiations. And what it would do is it would lift a state-imposed cap on spending for some low-spending school districts in Wisconsin. So districts that spend less than the state average per pupil would have been able to benefit from this cap being lifted from $9,100 per student, I think, to $9,400 by the end of the biennial budget. And then kind of there was a stair step for years after that. And proponents of the plan said that this would really help equalize school funding across Wisconsin, because some districts had successfully passed referendums to spend more money to raise property taxes, while others hadn't. And so they were, you know, kind of stuck at lower per pupil amounts than those districts that had passed referendums. So this was a kind of a way to get around that.
Any chance that the state legislature feels strongly enough about that or anything else, any other veto, to override any of the governor's vetoes?
I mean, Assembly Republicans made some noise about it, that they would consider it, especially with the veto that Laurel just described there, because that was one where you had a number of Republican representatives who felt like they kind of stuck their neck out, or they took this leap to let these frugal districts potentially increase property taxes to catch up with other districts. You know, that's not a step that Republicans have traditionally taken. They decided we're going to do it this time because these districts kind of need to catch up. So to go through that and then to get swatted down at the end by the governor, last week at least, they were saying, we'll look at our options for overriding a veto. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said no way they're going to override the governor. So if the Assembly were to come back and try to do that, in all likelihood, it would be for show. That's not to say that that type of thing hasn't happened before, but you are still talking about a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, so it seems unlikely.
All right. Not state budget related or Foxconn related. There was a hearing last week for a bill that would permit people in Wisconsin to carry concealed weapons without a permit. And then a Senate committee did approve this. So, Laurel, why are the advocates saying we should be able to carry concealed weapons without a permit?
Well, advocates are saying that quite a few other states allow folks to do so. Wisconsin, for quite a long time, has allowed people to openly carry a weapon without a permit. So they say that, you know, if you can openly carry, you should be able to concealed carry. The people that do so are responsible, and that they don't need the kind of requirements that are currently in place to get that permit. So to get the permit right now, you have to pass a course that's state approved in firearm safety and use. You have to pay a fee, and you have to pass a background check. So the proponents of this bill say the fee is kind of financially prohibitive for some people. The training course is unnecessary, and that essentially amounts to red tape that people have to go through to do something they think they should be able to do.
Is there enough opposition in the state legislature to stop this?
Well, what we saw in the committee was it was a 3-2 vote. So Republicans for it, Democrats against. So, you know, if that carries out through the entire legislature, of course, it'll be approved. The chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is the committee that approved the bill on Tuesday, said he's very confident that it will pass both chambers and get the governor's signature. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss responded to that by saying, "It's good to be optimistic."
So, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Another news item. So Russia tried to hack Wisconsin during the 2016 election. Sean, how do we know this, or what happened?
I think it came out in a fairly low-key press release from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Was that a Friday press release,
it
too?
It was a Friday dump. Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, by the way, you know, Russia tried to hack us. And they said that they were unsuccessful. But, I mean, were the details of that?
So basically what happened is the State Elections Commission announced on Friday that the hacking, I think they called it scanning, of Wisconsin's voter system, so voter registration things, databases. And the Elections Commission said that they had just been notified by the Federal Department of Homeland Security. So as a part of their release, they said, you know, we just heard about this from the federal government. We're going to be following up to find out why we were just notified that we're one of 21 states that there was an attempted Russian hack. And they said they were also going to ask when exactly the attempt took place. Presumably just so they, you know, knew.
And I know you'll be following up on that issue as well as many, many others. Sean, in 30 seconds or less, what's on tap this week? What are you watching this week?
We already talked about Kathleen Vinehout announcing for governor. That's a big one. I think the Elections Commission is meeting to discuss ongoing that effort by the federal government to investigate
voter fraud.
Apparently they haven't paid for publicly available voter information yet, so that's up for discussion.
Well, I will be listening to next week's State Capitol Report to stay in touch. Thank you both very much for being
here. Thanks,
Joy.
Sean Johnson and Laurel White, our State Capitol Bureau Chief and reporter. And Mike Arnold is here for the last couple of minutes of the program as we need to hear from more of you to make our goal here on the State Capitol Report. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Only have a couple minutes. We'd like to hear from 24 pledges. We have the technology to do that. We can accommodate 24 pledges in 2 minutes, but it starts with you going to the phone. Now's a great time to support the station you love.
Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lots of things going on in the Capitol, and we'll have plenty of reporting about it in the time to come. You'll be supporting those conversations by making your pledge right now.
Take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people choose $10 or $20 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
Now take a few minutes to make that pledge, whatever the amount. We will use it to support the programs you enjoy. we will continue to be your source for information and entertainment. So give now whatever amount feels right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now's the time. Pledge right now while you're thinking about it. It only takes a few minutes to contribute, but you'll be supporting civil conversations and in-depth news every day on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you to Ann from Monona, who says that Sean Johnson is my favorite segment of the week. Aw, isn't that nice? Thank you, Ann. And she she thanked me for asking great questions. Well, it's easy to do when you have a great guest like Sean Johnson and Laurel White. Thank you very much. You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.